Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
If you're anything like me, you need to keep it simple. Have you heard that acronym KISS, you know, keep it simple, stupid. That's me. Yes, please, keep it simple. What's the one thing I need to do that's going to help me be this kind of person? And that's why I've called today's message The Secret Place. Turn to your neighbor and say, The Secret Place. The Lord wants to bring you a reminder, Belmont, of the importance of the secret place. It is a key to the kinds of breakthrough and victory that we've been talking about. What do I mean when I say the secret place? Because you might think something and I might think something, so let's make sure we're on the same page. We've got the same definition. When I say the secret place, I'm talking about that place of your own daily devotion. It's that place, it's set apart from the rest of your life where you come and meet with God. You know, you come, you pray, you worship, you study His Word. It might be a physical place for you. You might have a chair that you sit in. Has anyone got a prayer chair? I've got a prayer chair, bought it off Marketplace. Very good, very comfortable. Cost me $200. Beautiful. Sometimes I fall asleep in my prayer chair, but the Lord still loves me. Amen. But it might be a room you go into. It might be a walk you take. But way more important than a physical place, the secret place is a spiritual place in your heart that's exclusively you and Jesus, Jesus and you. And by discipline, the goal is to go there every single day. That's what I mean when I say the secret place. And let's say that Jesus actually modeled this secret place life. He modeled an existence where he relied on and he went to the secret place. Let's look in the scripture about that. Mark 1:35, it says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Again, in Matthew 14, verse 23, Jesus went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, he was still there and he was still alone. And Luke 5, verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew. Say, often withdrew. Often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. He relied on the secret place. The secret place was a pattern of his life. We know that as an incarnate man, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but also he was constantly connected to his Father through a prioritization of the secret place. The scripture tells us that Jesus only said what he heard the Father speaking, and that he only did what he saw the Father doing. And you ask yourself, well, how did he know all those things from the Father? And I believe he heard, he saw, he knew because of the prioritization of the secret place. It is a key. And if it was a key for Jesus as he walked incarnate as a man, how much more should it be a key for you and for me to prioritize a secret place with the Lord? You know, how would we ever expect to know what the Father was doing and to hear what the Father was saying if we don't go to the secret place with Him? For every single one of us, I promise you, the secret place is under threat. Make no mistake, the enemy is after your secret place. And he will throw all sorts of things to keep you away from it, to get you to reduce its priority in your life, or maybe undermine its importance in your life. Like, how many times when you finally sit down to be with the Lord and then the phone rings? And then the texts start popping off, ping, 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 ping. And suddenly, you know, your kids need every single snack. They just need all the snacks. Or World War III breaks out between your teenagers. Or you know, suddenly the thoughts of every single thing you need to do in the whole entire world just flood your head. And you're like, where were all those thoughts when I was watching Netflix? Right? That laughter is He's a guilty laughter. I heard that. And, you know, like 2 hours uninterrupted, that entire movie, and I did not think about a single other thing that I should be doing, but 5 minutes deep into my quiet time with the Lord, and suddenly I feel like, oh, I don't have time for this. I've got to do. You know, that is not a coincidence, people. Let's wake up to the very real spiritual assault on your quiet time. The enemy knows perhaps better than we do the power. You know, what God wants to do in you every day as you meet with Him, as you meet with the Lord, how He's going to get you ready for the greater things that He wants to pour out. Amen. You know, we got to realize this. We got to come into the secret place. And for the time that we've got left together, we're going to, you know, deep dive. Is that all right? We're going to deep dive the importance of this place with the Lord and everything that God wants to do there. And my hope is that this message would inspire a fresh and a deep hunger within you to get into the secret place. This is not so much a Sunday word. This is a Monday word, amen? You know, this is a Monday word. And I am right now, I'm just going to break any and all condemnation in Jesus' name, right? Doesn't matter how much you feel like you've failed in this area. I want to shake your hand and say, welcome to the club. But here's a word of wisdom. If we've fallen off the wagon, we get back on. Amen? Get back on. So take all condemnation and shame off you and fresh mercy to you today to go into the secret place with boldness. Amen? What's the saying in Hebrews? We approach the throne of grace with confidence. You confidently come to His feet. I don't care what happened yesterday. Goodbye yesterday. Come into His presence today. Amen? Amen. So first point about the secret place is it is the place of His presence. Everyone say His presence. Pastor Gareth ministered a beautiful moment earlier on just in His presence. Perhaps the very best thing about the secret place is God is there. He's there. He's there. You know, when you just go into that secret place with the Lord and you bring all of your wayward thoughts to the feet of Jesus and you just press play on your favorite worship song and you flip open the Word and there's just a verse there that you just let it roll over your mind and your heart. You start to set your spirit free. You speak in tongues. You speak in the heavenly language. And suddenly His presence comes into the room. You know, suddenly His presence fills your heart. Perhaps before, all you could think about was the stresses of the day. You know, all you could think about was all the affairs of life. But then all you can see is God. Like it changes. Like the words of that old song, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And the scriptures tell us so much about just how good the presence of the Lord actually is for us. Like, John chapter 7, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. He's not talking about water or Coke. He's talking about His presence, His living water that has the ability to satisfy our spirit, fulfill our soul. Isaiah chapter 40 says, those who wait on the Lord, what are they going to do? They're going to renew their strength. Mount up on wings like eagles. All of a sudden, you know, you're above things. You're not under them. You can come into His presence feeling like you're under the weight of so much stuff. But those who wait on the Lord, mount up like wings like eagles. Suddenly, I'm above it. I'm not under it, right? So there's this strength, there's this infilling that comes from the presence of the Lord. But here's the thing, the more time you spend in the presence of the Lord, the more you're going to increase in the knowledge of the Lord. Like it just stands to reason that the more time you hang out with someone, the better you know them. It's like your colleagues at work. You know, you spend all week with them, 9 to 5. If you've been working with them for years, you just know them because you spent so much time in their presence. And you know exactly what that side eye means. you know exactly that if Jan calls one more time, they're going to do their top, you know. They're going to blow. Something's going to happen. Why do you know them so well? Because of the time you spent in their presence, right? It's the same with God. In his presence, the knowledge of him actually increases in our lives. And the increasing knowledge of the Lord brings everything good to us. As you know him more, so you believe him more. As you know him more, suddenly I'm more confident in the Lord. As I know him more, I'm actually more confident in myself, because it wasn't just the increasing knowledge of him that I understood. It was the increasing knowledge of how much he thinks of me, how much he regards me. And suddenly I'm more confident. Suddenly I'm more, you know, able to see him for who he really is. Listen to what the scriptures say about the people that know the Lord. Psalm 9, verse 10, it says, those who know your name, in other words, know your character, know your goodness, know your greatness, those who know your name will put their trust in you. Not might, not maybe, not possibly, but they will. It's easy to trust when you know the Lord. When you know the Lord, Daniel 11:32, I love this. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That is the behavior of the people that really know God. They're the ones who obtain the victory. They're the ones who will see the giants fall. You know, it was young David in the scriptures. He came from the secret place of the shepherd's pasture. That was where he spent all of his time. Not only in the presence of the sheep, but in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And he came from that secret place. He comes to the Valley of Elah. And what he finds in the Valley of Elah is the entire army of Israel undone with the assault of fear and intimidation that was coming from this Philistine Goliath. And David put himself forward, as we know, to face off against Goliath. But before he did so, listen to what he said. 1 Samuel 17:45, he says, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord's going to deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Like, how does a teenager say that to a seasoned warrior? I promise you, he was full of that faith. He was full of that confidence because he knew his God. And how did he know God? Because he'd been in the presence of God. So if you're struggling to trust, if you're struggling to, you know his heart and know his ways and believe him, the answer for that is the secret place. Come back to dwell in his presence. As you're in his presence, the knowledge of the Lord will increase in your life. Second thing about the secret place, it's the place of his voice. Everyone say his voice. His voice. Life is very noisy, am I right? You know, every single one of us, every single day, just so many voices coming at us from every single conceivable angle. You know, thanks to our screens largely, we just don't have any part of our life that's sacred anymore. They all potentially invaded by, you know, opinions of critics and cynics and haters and fear mongers and judges and, you know, our environment can be full of things and voices that do not please the Lord. So that in actual fact, our secret place might not be that secret. You know, the quiet place might actually not be that quiet. These voices all shouting at us every day, and they're wanting a piece of our allegiance. Like, they're seeking after a part of our heart. Like, the influencers actually want to influence us. And sometimes, even within us, they achieve their objective. They meet their goal so that we are influenced indeed by them, but perhaps not to the voice of the Lord, perhaps to some other thing. And that's why we've got to get in the secret place, because it's the place of his voice. is His voice. It's where we hear from Him and His word, and the living word comes into the room when we get in the secret place. And that's why it's so important to go there regularly, go there daily, because I promise you those other voices are coming at you every single day. Like those contrary voices, they are not taking a break. And if we're not careful, we will be influenced by them. And that's why it's so important to daily come. And I'm daily realigning to the heart of my Father. I'm daily realigning to His voice, His word. Making sense to you today? Matthew chapter 6, when He was teaching His disciples to pray, He said this. He said, when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. I love what it says here about shutting the door. I think there's just something so powerful about God's people shutting the door. And it's not just shutting out the physical presence of others, but it's shutting out all those other voices. Shutting out all those other influences that seek to influence in every agenda that is soulish or broken or godless or demonic or any other thing, whether it's from within you or whether it's something, someone outside of you. We just need to shut the door. We need to get in the presence of the Lord. You know, Jesus, when He came to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead, remember that scripture in Mark chapter 5, and Jesus was confronted with a whole heap of different voices. There was weepers, there was wailers, there was a whole heap of commotion. There was even like laughers and mockers and all sorts of things. What did Jesus do? He put them all outside. He wanted to get rid of every other voice and just lean onto and into His Father's voice. And His Father said, she's not dead, she's only sleeping. And we need to come to the place of our Father's voice. So if like doubt and unbelief are screaming at you, come into the secret place. And if fear and anxiety are roaring at you, come into the secret place. Come back to His voice and let it be the loudest voice in any given day, in any given week. Amen? Amen? You keep on doing that over and over and over and you're going to see the giants of unbelief fall. Amen? See fear, anxiety fall in your life. The third point, the secret place is the place of preparation. Everyone say preparation. We know that David, before he faced Goliath, we know that he had been prepared by the Lord in the secret place of the shepherd's pasture. We talked earlier that it was in the shepherd's pasture that his knowledge of the Lord increased. But it wasn't only that. If you read the text, you know that it was in the secret place of the shepherd's pasture that he defeated a lion, he defeated a bear. And those two victories against those two beasts, they were preparatory. The Lord prepared him in the secret place to come and face and kill Goliath in a public place. And that's where we get this principle that private victories actually precede public victories. Have you heard that phrase before? That if David had have never faced the lion or faced the bear in the private place, who knows whether he would have been adequately prepared to then come and face Goliath in that public place. Amen? And I believe that's what the Lord's wanting to do for us too. He wants to release private victories, victories in the secret place that actually prepare us for the public ones, prepare us for what He wants to do in our life in that more visible place. But for some of us, it's actually hard for the Lord to do a work of preparation in the private place because we're hardly ever in the private place, you know? He can't find us in the secret place. So how can He work on us? Amen. Because the truth is, we all have our lions and our bears. We all, every single one of us, have enemies, things that are sneaking up on us and trying to steal and trying to kill and trying to destroy. For me personally, my lions and bears have been things like fear. things like pride. I've dealt with a whole raft of insecurities. You know, things like comparison, toxic comparison and pride and even laziness. At different times of my life, these have been the lions and the bears that I have had to fight in the private place, right? And if I've never gone after them with my father there, there's no way I could do the public thing. You understand? It would have actually kept me away from public victory. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I still fight lions and bears metaphorically to this day. You know, I was just dealing with fear in my heart just this week. You know, maybe you were too. It's not linear. It's not this perfectly linear thing, but it's definitely a principle that the Lord wants to get us in the secret place and see those private victories so that He can release the public things to us. You know, that addiction is that unhealthy relationship, the broken cycle in your life or the effect of that trauma. I don't know what it is, but the secret place is a key where the Lord can actually get in you and do that mysterious, beautiful work of transformation and release public victory to you. Amen. The final thought as the singers and muses come and join me. The secret place is a place of power. Everyone say power. Power. You know, David came from the secret place of the shepherd's pasture and he was dripping with the anointing. He was covered with a power from the Lord to actually take this punk down. You know, Goliath, Philistines, roaring fear, roaring intimidation, the whole army cowering. But David was anointed of the Lord because of that secret place prioritization, dedication, and he took that thing down. Amen? Amen? You know, it's very interesting to do like a word study and see what power was on Jesus' life every time he came out of the secret place. You know, he came out of the secret place and he walked on water. He came out of the secret place and he healed the sick. He cast out demons. You know, he came out of the secret place and he went to the cross. Like it was in the secret place that he found an anointing and authority to do the thing that he didn't even want to do. You know, these are the things that come to us in the secret place. And the Lord is wanting to release a power, an anointing, an authority on you. You know, as you come to him in the secret place, that's what the Lord's wanting to do for his people so that his people could stand up and be counted in this hour, so that we can be included. We have the grace to steward all that he's wanting to release. Amen? Amen. There's so much more that he's wanting to do in our lives, in this campus. You haven't arrived. This is very good, but you have not arrived. Like I'm sure what, you know, what God's doing in your life right now is wonderful, but this ain't it. We're not there yet. We haven't arrived. There are greater things in God. But it starts with you and me making a choice. I'm going to come. I'm going to let him work on me day by day by day in the secret place so that I can be grown, crafted and shaped into the sort of man and woman that the Lord's looking to pour greater upon. Private victories, public victories, all of the victories in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.